Greetings in Jesus Christ's precious name this morning. I stand before you in awe and adoration of our Lord. Very grateful to be here this morning. It is only because of Him that I stand before you this morning. The Lord has been very good to us in allowing us to come. Me and my family and my sister and Delia. It's been quite the journey for us, and we're very excited. We're blessed to be here in your midst. It has felt like a long time since we've had that interaction, and I feel like these days that I'm here, it's almost like almost like a dry sponge, you know, just absorbing the fellowship and the blessings we're receiving. Like, we have truly been very blessed the time we've been here already, and we look forward to a few more days here to spend with you. And so for those of you that don't know me, John Neufeld would be my name, and my wife Juliana. Juliana would be John Braun's daughter, for those of you that know him. And then we have three little ones, Jariah and Micah and Hannah. And we would be from Arburg, Manitoba, Canada. Also, we flew with, came here with Sarah. Sarah's courting Philip Troyer and Delia Barch, Glenn Barch's daughter, that came with us. Yes, like I said, we're tremendously grateful to be here. The Lord has been so good. I would desire to share with you a little bit of a testimony of just the Lord opening. I could share with you a verse later, but simply the Lord breaking those gates of brass and cutting those bars asunder and opening the way up and just straightening the path and allowing us to be here. It's only because of the Lord. Like, I've been asked, how did you make it through, you know? The Lord did it. The Lord did it. I bring greetings from the church at home. We're very grateful for all the help that we have received and that are still receiving. Aiden has been up a number of times and would love to see more of you out there, but I realize it has been a challenge. There's not this back and forth like we would like to, but hopefully the Lord has a way possible someday in the near future where we can, you know, have that interaction a bit more again. Just briefly, so for us back at home, the Lord has blessed us with a beautiful property there. And last year we were able to purchase it, and with a, used to be a store building on there, and we've been able to renovate it. With all the tremendous financial support that we received from many different churches, we've been able to make it into a suitable building to gather, and we're definitely grateful for all the support and just even feeling you behind us. It's been a blessing to spend here. And even just otherwise, the property the Lord has blessed us with all the lockdowns we've had there and the restrictions, it's kind of in the back corner, and there's quite a bit of bush around there, and we've still been able to gather for the most part. And so the Lord has truly been good to us, and we continue to seek to serve the Lord. And definitely we have our challenges, but The Lord has been good to us, and we continue to serve the Lord. And like I said, I'd like to share a little bit of testimony, just how the Lord led us, and briefly a little bit. Truly, God has been good. And I like when I was back home, and these things were starting to unfold, and before we knew for sure if we would be able to come, but it just seemed like the Lord was showing us different things, and it just seemed very obvious. According to what He was revealing to us, it seemed very, very clear that we would be able to go, and it's like, Lord, if You allow us to get through, you know, it looked dark, it looked difficult, but if You allow us to get through, I can't be quiet about it, you know. It's and here I stand, you know, and it's like, is this day gonna be real, you know? And so briefly, so at first it was Sarah and Delia that were wanting to come up here, as most of you probably know. And September 25th, they went, and we have to get a test, a COVID test, in order to come into the U.S. And if it's a positive, then we get to sit at home. If it's a negative, then we're free to go. On September 25th, they went and got tested, both of them. Sarah didn't even have symptoms, and both of them ended up getting a positive. So that was a bit challenging, actually quite challenging, because that meant they have to sit at home for 10 days, including their families, and then another 10 days with the after the girls are past their quarantine stage. Then another 10 days, the rest of the family still has to stay in quarantine until, you know, make sure they haven't received anything from the girls that were positive. So my family was a total of 20 days at home, and Barch's were a little bit less due to Delia's symptoms having been a little bit earlier, and they started her a bit sooner. So I helped them rebook tickets. I helped them rebook tickets for the 14th. Of October, in hopes of, you know, then they should be out of their quarantine, and maybe we can get them a clearance letter, fly with a positive and a clearance letter from a doctor, and we should be good to go. The second weekend of October, though, me and my wife were sitting in our living room one evening, and I guess the Lord just must have laid it on our hearts, and it's like, why don't we fly out here? Like, why don't we do it? Because, see, we were starting to see this thing of, by end of October, we were supposed to be vaccinated if we wanted to fly anywhere. Well, you know, we've been wanting to all along come out here already, and yet nothing really seemed to be opening up. And here all of a sudden it's like, well, why don't we try that? So we looked, and sure enough, seemed tickets were fairly reasonable. So we booked them. I mean, after a bit, we discussed it, prayed about it, and so we booked tickets and to fly a bit later than the girls. But it was a little bit of a step of faith, because, you know, the girls had gotten this positive, and for us that meant getting 4 negatives in order to be able to fly, you know, because 2 of my children also needed to get a test. And me and my wife, just having been through a little bit of a flu and COVID symptoms likely, that looked, you know, looked a bit, honestly looked quite bleak. You know, my dad was telling me, it's like, just prepare yourself, you know, it'll probably be negative or positive. And how are you going to be able to? Well, we had seen different things, and the Lord had been showing us, and it's like, well, the Lord can do anything, you know. He can turn a positive test into a negative. He can also turn a negative into a positive. So it's totally up to the Lord. I knew, I was positive He could do that. But we felt clear, we booked, and went ahead. Well, the day came, the 13th or so, 12th, 13th, just before the girls were supposed to fly, we started searching for a doctor that could give us a clearance letter for the girls to fly on the 14th. Well, lo and behold, we looked high and low, asked this hospital, that doctor, this place, that place, that clinic. They didn't know anything about it. And it's like, why don't you know anything about it? I mean, the U.S. is requiring this. If you, and it's stated all across, you know, online and websites. I mean, airlines are saying this, and they didn't know anything about it. So that was stretching. We were on the last day. Glenn Bartsch took his daughter and Sarah to Winnipeg and drove around and, you know, help us out. Like, we need something. We need a clearance letter. You know, just stating that they're out of quarantine and that they're clear to travel. It seemed like nobody really knew what that was about, and so there, that was basically. Well, we came to the end of our ropes essentially. It's like, Lord, we where do we turn? And we sent a call line asking for prayer and that day though in Winnipeg, when they were driving around trying to find a place, the Lord led them to one doctor that finally said, all right, I don't know, I'm not sure what this is supposed to be, but I'll type you up a letter and clear you for travel. So we were praising the Lord for that. It was basically, we were at the end, and God, just in time, He stepped in. So that was a tremendous blessing. Well, the next morning, early in the morning, 3 a.m., they arrive in Winnipeg at the airport, ready to fly. Paperwork in hand, and the flight agent denied them boarding. Why? I'm not 100% sure, but it seemed like she had somehow, she didn't understand it either, and instead of this positive test being within 90 days, it seemed like she was taking it, and it has to be older than 90 days. The girls tried, I mean, doesn't it say this, and no, here's the computer. Look, it says, go home, you know, basically. Well, that shook us all up. I mean, Philip knows all about it. And me and him were back and forth quite a bit. And what do we do? And my desire was to see Sarah be able to come out here and Delia. And of course, for us, you know, we didn't have her test yet. And again, it's just, are we crazy? What did we do? Book tickets and in hopes of getting a negative? Like, anyways. So then the question arises, why God? What are you trying to say? What are you trying to do? During this whole time, I mentioned before briefly, is that the Lord had been revealing different stories, Bible stories we were reading to our children. A different portion of Scripture that just seemed to strike us and stand out to us, and it really challenged us. We all know the story of Queen Esther, and that was one story, and I think that one was, I'm not quite sure which time frame exactly all these things came, but Mordecai was requesting her to go to the king and to save her people. And she's like, I can't, you know, like, if he doesn't hold out the scepter, I'm done. You know, I'm finished. But Mordecai, what ended up happening? She requested God's people to pray, and I think this was my wife reading the story to the children. I was sitting beside and listening, and it struck me, like, she asked God's people to pray, and for 3 days. And we all know what happened. Esther went in. And in a sense, got her negative, you know. That's in a sense how it stood out to me. And so I felt like, you know, I know I've called different brothers and just pray for us, you know, whenever we came, when we came to the point of doing our test and just different situations, and God just opened the doors. And the other story was the one of Elisha and the young prophets. I didn't really study into it, but it was also just a Bible story that I was reading to the children. And here, this one of these young men had borrowed an axe and was chopping this tree, and it fell into the water. What happened? Pretty obviously it sunk, right? And And I was reading this story, and Elisha goes and throws a stick on the water, and it floats. You know, well, that's quite something. You know, and a chunk of metal doesn't just float. And to me, again, it's just like, wow, like, you know, that was a negative, you know, like a negative float there, you know, or what would I say? Gravity should pull it down, and here it floated. And I got to thinking, it's like, you know what? That God that caused that axe head to float back then is still the same God today, and He is my Father. And that Father is the one that is in control of all the details of our lives. You know, he cared about that axe head. It was a borrowed axe. You know, so what? Go pay him, right? You know, or something. Yet he cared about it. Would not that same God, he hasn't changed an iota since then, even though it's 3,000 years ago or something. It's still the same Father, you know, still the same God. And that just really strengthened us as we waited for our time that we were supposed to get our test and also there's the story of Daniel and his three friends, or the three friends that were supposed to bow down to this idol, and what stood out to me there was, you know, they believed God would save them. They believed God could do it. They told the king, He will deliver us. But if not, be it known unto you, we will not serve thy God. And so our prayer was still, you know, we didn't know what was God's outcome going to be in this when we were going to go and get tested. Our prayer was that if the Lord chose to give us a positive, our heart was that we would still not, you know, change our way of thinking of, you know, lifting our Father up. Then He must have a definite plan for us. So the day the girls were supposed to have flown, I went back on the computer and me and Philip were discussing different things and checking it out. Is this for real? Like, should this really have happened? And he called into the flight agent and to WestJet where the girls were denied, and that lady there ended up saying, no, they should have been able to fly. And so what was the purpose of this all? But so I helped rebook tickets one more time, and this time they would fly with us, which was going to be the next Tuesday. From a Thursday they're supposed to fly. The 19th was the day we were going to fly. So we were able to basically take that credit from those tickets and rebook them. And thankfully this time we could fly together if we could get through. That day I finished up some work and I came home from work, and my wife greeted me at the door. And she gets her Bible out right away and says, look what the Lord showed me. Turn with me maybe to Isaiah 45. That just did it for me. That struck me so hard, and it just, wow. 45, Isaiah 45, verse 2 and 3. He says, the Lord says, I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. That struck me. To us, it felt like, you know, this border. There's these bars of iron, these gates of brass, and there's no possible way. How do we get through? I mean, already having seen the girls go through all this, you know, it hit us. You know, it's like, what are we trying? You know, me and my family. What are we thinking of to try to get through? And the Lord just must have revealed this to my wife, and she showed it to me, and I shared it with some different people. I think I sent it to Philip and to my family and to Barches, and just let's take faith, let's take courage. That Friday, that weekend, actually, last weekend, October 15th to the 17th, me and my wife had booked a cabin for our 5th anniversary. So we left the children at my parents, and Saturday we had to come back, which was the day where we needed to do our testing. And so we did that, and we met, had our two oldest there too, and we did all of our tests. And there was just that peace in our hearts, you know. You know, now the outcome, what's the outcome going to be? And I can just honestly say there was peace in our heart. And, you know, trusting that the Lord would have a perfect plan in all of this. Sunday morning, which was the next day, early morning, all of a sudden three texts come into my phone saying that for my wife and Micah and Triah, the results are in. And so I had to go online and check it to see what the results were. Well, praise the Lord, they were all negative. But then it's like, okay, where's the fourth text? Where's my result? Nothing came, nothing happened. That afternoon we drove home, and on our way home, I called the health official and said, look, I need my test. Like, I got three of them. We all tested at the same time. Where's my test? So that was, you know, and she says, it could be up to 7 days. 7 days, you know. That's too long. I need it sooner than that. If I don't have a test, I can't fly. So that was stretching. She didn't know. It was pending. You know, my test was pending. We stopped at a gas station along the road home. And it, you know, just me and my wife discussing different things. And yeah, it was with everything that the last week or so that we had gone through, we were stretched a little bit. And as we pulled into the gas station, you know, we stopped there a bit, and I pulled up my phone, and somebody had posted an article or a devotional. And I want to read that to you this morning, because it just, once again, it just spoke to me, to us. I showed it to my wife later when she was back, and it just struck us. I once heard the famous Scottish preacher John McNeil relate this personal incident. During his boyhood in Scotland, he worked a long distance from home. The walk home took him through a dense forest and across a wide ravine. The ravine was known to house such nefarious tenants as wild animals and robber gangs. Darkness would often gather before he got to the woods, and he said, "How I dreaded to make the last part of the trip. I never went through those woods without trembling with fear. One night, it was especially dark, but I was aware that something or someone was moving stealthily toward me. I was sure it was a robber. A voice called out, and its eerie tone struck my heart cold with fear. I thought I was finished. Then came a second call, and this time I could hear the voice saying, 'John, is that you?' It was my father's voice. He had known my fear of the ravine and the darkness of the forest, and he had come out to meet me. My father took hold of my hand and put his arm around me. I never had a sweeter walk in my life. His coming changed the whole trip. That is God's relationship to you and me. He is your father and my father. Through the darkness and mist, we hear his voice. He has come to meet us. Just at the time we need him, he will be there. Through the darkest moment of life, our Heavenly Father says, "Fear not. Here is my hand. I will walk the rest of the way with you." And I looked at it, I scanned it a little bit quickly and said, "Wait a minute, what does it say?" And it just blessed me so, so very much. My Father is never going to be too late, you know. He will be there just in time. He will do everything just in time. And, you know, we were being stretched. It fell, you know. I've got 3 negatives, but I still need my last one. And it's Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon. What are we going to do? We went to my parents, and we spent supper there and had a blessed time of fellowship and visiting there. Barches were there too, and we sang the song before supper there, "Oh Heavenly Father." And I don't know, you probably know it, but anyways, that song just spoke to me and my wife, just ministered to us. "We are so undeserving to make this request. Shower your power upon us, we pray." That was our plea. That was our heart. That evening, as we stepped out the door, we were ready to leave. The children were in the vehicle already. I also get a text. And I look at it, and sure enough, my result is in. Well, needless to say, I felt a little bit, what's this result going to be? And yet, deep down inside, I think I felt that peace there. And I open it up, and it's a negative. Glory. Glory. I was rejoicing. We were rejoicing. That was so exciting. God did that work. God brought that axe head up out of the water. You know, even though at all odds, it didn't. They tell us, you know, if you've had COVID symptoms or if you've had a positive, they don't even encourage you. Like they didn't encourage the girls to get tested again because it would likely be a positive. My sister didn't even have any symptoms. She got a positive. We had just, me and my wife both had just been through it, and my wife was still kind of, you know, and here God did it. God opened the way. A couple things. The next morning, we were getting ready to travel. And I was working on our van, getting an extra seat in there because we were going to be 8 of us traveling to the airport. Somebody was going to take us. And I parked my van by the garage. And I was working there, and basically I think as I was wrapping up, I all of a sudden looked beneath the vehicle. I'm like, what's that? And here my spare tire had just dropped to the ground. I'm like, what? Like, how come? Like, so I went and looked, and here the cable had rusted away. You know, it's held up by a cable, right? I was like, the cable just fell to the ground just by standing still? Like, who did that? And I just stood before God in awe. I was like, what did you just do here? You know, because next morning, I was going to drive a little bit more yet that day, but the next morning, early morning, we would be on the road with 8 of us in there. I have no idea. That tire, if it's flat on the ground, I might be able to slide my rear axle. It's in between my front axle and my back axle. I might be able to drive over it. But if you're driving 100 kilometers an hour, that tire doesn't just drop and smoothly land on the ground and you can drive over it. It'll probably bounce and jump. And I don't want to think of what could have happened. I mean, because it's you know, a tire, and if it would have flipped and the Lord just did it. Why? Just standing still. All of a sudden, I had driven around that day already. You know, I could have experienced something, but here, just the vehicle was standing still and it just dropped right there. Thank you, God. You are in control. He definitely did that. I was just struck by how God cares for these little things. Even later in the afternoon, yet that day still, again, I was cleaning up some brush and throwing it on the fire and with the lawnmower and trailer, and my children were with me there, and I had just dumped a bunch onto the fire, starting to burn again, and I was going to get ready to leave. Now my youngest had played with the key and lost the key. And I'm like, oh dear. So I pushed the lawn tractor out of the way because it's getting starting to burn there. And I just look around. It's I couldn't find the thing. And Lord, please show me where this key is. You know, by the time I'm back, it's probably snow. And who knows that. But Lord, please show me where this key is. And I look and there it is, just like that. It's like, thank you, God. Like, just a little key, and He cares. And He answered that quickly. It wasn't like it was a minute longer. I basically finished my prayer and there it was. The Lord just seemed to say, I care. I'll be with you. You know, you're going on this trip. I'll be with you. And that was our prayer, you know, as we now got ready. You know, the girls were going to come with us next morning. Lord, please allow things to go smoothly, because what are we going to face with the girls? We hadn't really changed anything necessarily. Maybe a little bit of different paperwork, but otherwise, you know what? We're probably going to face the same thing unless you will intervene. Well, we arrive at the airport and all of a sudden the girls point out, oh no, it's the same lady. The same lady that denied the boarding. Well, I was at peace. I felt at rest. I had seen the Lord at work. And somehow I had peace and rest that the Lord would bring us through. And first there was a different person that helped us. We had a bit of an issue with my name. I don't know, something about my last name there. And then he had to go already. And thankfully we had been able to have quite a bit of time there. But for the girls standing there and waiting, I think it started to stretch. For my wife, it started to stretch, you know. Well, is this going to work? You know, are they going to give us? And because it probably took, I don't know, 25 minutes or something. And all of a sudden that lady, sure enough, that same lady takes over for that person and works it through. And in the end, when my name stuff was figured out and they got our boarding passes and have a great flight. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It just... Wow, God did it. Nothing, no issue, not no mention of, oh, your test, you know, or this or that. You mean, like, I had paperwork ready. I had paperwork from the CDC. I had paperwork ready from WestJet. I was going to show them, like, hey, look, it says 90 days within, you know. I didn't need that. I could have left it at home. I never had to show a stitch of paperwork. God did it. The Lord opened the way. And the rest of the way, too, we had to go through Toronto, and through customs and then into the international side. No question asked. Here's your paperwork. Here's your boarding passes. Have a great trip, you know. Just thank you, God. So smooth. Everything flowed. We had no issue. They were so nice. They gave us nice seats together. I mean, on and on. One portion of scripture, or one story that I, through this time, that I kept thinking about sometimes is when Peter walked on the water, Jesus called him and said, you know, yes, come to me. Peter did step out in faith. He looked, had his eyes upon Jesus, and he started walking. He was on top of the water. And this has been something that's been a challenge for myself. You know, Peter kept his eyes on the Lord. He didn't worry about the waves. That wasn't his focus. His focus was on the Lord. And what happened though to him when he started looking around and it's like, oh boy, what's all going on around us? Guess what happened? He sunk. He started sinking. And I know for myself, it's so easy. You know, especially in the times we find ourselves in, with everything going on, I too easily I get caught up in all the things that are going on and what's happening and what are we gonna do. But may I encourage everyone here, keep your eyes on the Lord. That is where we need to keep our focus on. Let the weights be as high as they want to be, but if you have your eyes on the Lord, then you can stay afloat, you can stay on the water, and you can walk. And basically, this morning what I want to leave with you is just that all of us find ourselves in different situations. You know, whatever you're facing, you may find yourself in smaller situations that don't seem very significant. And like my lawnmower key, you know, I did have a spare, I think, somewhere in the house. But God cared, a little lawnmower key, you know. Or, and I trust none of us are in a situation like that as of at this time, we may also find ourselves in a situation like our brothers and sisters find themselves in Haiti, you know, locked up somewhere or kidnapped. I just want to leave with you and encourage you with is that God is faithful and He has a purpose and a plan for everything. He does care, even when it sometimes seems like, why, you know, and God cares for the smallest detail of our lives, and God cares about the big details. Why are our brothers and sisters stuck out there? Why did God allow that to happen? But truly, I believe God has a plan and a purpose for it. Turn with me yet to Psalm 126. Like I said, there were many, many portions of Scripture that God just kept showing us. God kept revealing to us. And we were reading actually in Psalm 121 that morning. And my wife kind of looked over the page and there was 126. And this was before we really knew how the turnout was going to be. But it's just, is this going to be for real? Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, beareth precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That is our heart this morning. We are rejoicing. God has turned our tears into joy, and the Lord hath done great things for us. And wherever you find yourself this morning, the Lord will do great things. And may we be able to rest in that. May the Lord richly bless you.